Well, you didn't think it was going to be easy to get here, did you? I know. We have an enemy that is actively seeking to get in our way every single day. We have an active enemy who desires nothing but to cause you and I to take our eyes off our Lord and Savior and serve ourselves. I'm so glad you're here today. I am so glad you're here today. And this morning, we are going to be so encouraged. We're going to be so encouraged to follow Jesus that it's ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous this morning. So here's how I know when God... No, when the enemy gets in my way and tries to mess things up on a Sunday morning, I know it's going to be good. I know it's going to be good. Because when the enemy tries really hard to say, yeah, I don't think I want this message proclaimed, then I know it's going to be good. So, you know, a good relationship is one in which two people are moving in the same direction, working towards the same goals, and working together to make sure that they get there. A great relationship has enough mercy for one party to actually wait for the other party to get there. I'll let that hit you between the eyes for a second. A good relationship has us both going in the same direction. A great relationship has enough mercy that one party actually waits for the other to get where they need to be. That's why God offers us such a wonderful and powerful relationship. Because this relationship that we have with God is Him in the good place and the right place and the best place and always calling and beckoning and waiting for us to catch up. And that's why we're here this morning, isn't it? We're here this morning because we want to be where Jesus is. We're here this morning because we want to be closer to God. We're here this morning because we want to be encouraged from everything that we have going on in our lives. We're here this morning because we believe the truth. As feeble as our attempts to be faithful are, we hold in our hearts that it is true. That the confession that we have made that Jesus Christ is Lord, that is what our entire lives revolve around. And yet, just to be here this morning, we had plenty of distractions, didn't we? Yeah. Just to be here this morning, all the short people in the house didn't cooperate fully. There was something that you couldn't find, something necessary, right? Or the alarm didn't go off. Or both of your water heaters decided to shut off in the middle of the night, and when you get up in the dark, one of your dogs that didn't go out when they were supposed to in the middle of the night leaves you a gift right in the living room floor and then gets so excited this morning, decides to step in it and do a dog dance in the living room. And then, of course, the unexpected rain makes your road messed up. And if you got everybody dressed and ready, then you're in the car, right? And you're in the car driving here and the enemy says, I don't know, let's bring up some dissatisfaction with those closest to you. Let's find something to complain about. Let's find something to gripe about. Let's find anything to make you feel like a hypocrite. You know those Sunday mornings. Bop, 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 bop. Doors of the church. Good morning! And you and I come in here and we sit, and as hard as we try, we're still distracted. And as hard as we try, we can't stop thinking, well, that's not the song I would lead. Well, that's not what I would say in my prayer. Or, it's kind of quiet in here this morning, but it's not always so, is it? I can't even worship. Those kids are loud. Right? Whatever it is, We have distraction upon distraction upon distraction. The enemy just doesn't want us to look clearly at what God is doing. See, church, in Israel, three times a year, God's people made this journey to Jerusalem. Journey was a high point. And so they came from all over the place. They packed up the family, and they got the donkey with all the stuff, and they're walking together, and they're going towards Jerusalem. Passover, Pentecost, the Feast of Tabernacles. These were their times of worship. These are the times where they would come together, where they would see each other, people, family members and brothers and sisters in God that they hadn't seen in a long time. And they were carrying their sacrifices. They were bringing their burdens. Or they would have to find a sacrifice once they got there. And it was hustle, and it was bustle, and it was crowded, and it was noisy, and it was messy. And the amazing thing, as they are walking to Jerusalem, and you can just imagine, some roads would have been flat, some roads would have been surrounded by mountains, some roads would have been dangerous and perilous, as marauders or raiders were hiding in the bushes just to steal if they had anything. And they made this journey three times a year. You and I make this journey every week, but they made this amazing journey three times a year. And as they made that journey, as they realized what they were going to do, they sang. They prepared themselves. We have in the Bible 15 Psalms. Psalm 120 to 134. They are called the Songs of Ascent. That is the songs that Israel sings as they are coming to Jerusalem. These 15 Psalms, we're going to take a look at them. Not all today, so relax. I'll give you a reason to come back next week. We're going to study these songs because these songs are what Israel sang to get ready to leave every care of the world behind and come into the presence of God. These songs are also a very powerful analogy for those that are following Jesus and want to be closer to Jesus. These songs hopefully will become for you a soundtrack in preparing you to worship God. Psalm 120. Psalm 120. Now imagine, you and your family, you're not even at the building yet, okay? They weren't at the temple yet. They started singing this on the road. Psalm 120. In my distress, I called to the Lord, and He answered me. Deliver me, O Lord, from lying lips, from a deceitful tongue. What shall be given to you, and what more shall be done to you, you deceitful tongue? A warrior, sharp arrows with glowing coals of the broom tree. Woe to me that I sojourn in Meshech, that I dwell among the tents of Kedar. Too long have I had my dwelling among those who hate peace. I am for peace, but when I speak, they are for war. So this first song that Israel would sing as they are coming close to Jerusalem on these special days of worship, this first song confesses to God, it's bad out here. It's bad out here. And it cries out, God, deliver me. Deliver me from all the evil that is going on. I want to see You. I want to focus on You. But I'm just surrounded day and night by dangers to my life, by dangers to my faith. Deliver me, God. And at the very first verse, and I love this, in my distress I called to the Lord, and He answered me. And He answered me right from the get-go, right off the bat, right at the beginning. We cry out to God, and God shows up. It's a perfect analogy, church, for our relationship with God, because God answers immediately. He does not remove every stone. He does not take away every obstacle. He does not transport us to heaven when we become baptized. But He answers immediately. There's still a journey to be walked. There's still a life to be lived. They're not in Jerusalem yet. They're making their way there. They're on the way. And they cry out to God and say, God, it's bad out here. There's so much evil. I mean, I'm trying to do good, but there's so much evil, and I get frustrated, and I get disappointed, And I get scared. And I get tempted to give up. And I get tempted to look around and say, well, why bother? And church, you and I know those temptations well, don't we? Well, I'm just not feeling it today, so why even show up? I'm not filled with the Spirit today. Or my kids are such a distraction. I'm not getting anything out of it, so why not just stay home? I'm so caught up in my own frustrations of my sinfulness this week. I can't show my face there. Or when I get there, it's not what I expected. It's not, Michael's always excited. He seems so, how does he stay so excited about these things? Because in my experience, the Christian walk is rather humdrum, rather boring. Feels like more of a, something else I got to get dressed up for. Something else I have to do. But I get no benefit. I get no benefit. We walk in, I don't feel any different. We walk out, we go to lunch. Why are we doing this each and every week? See, when we cry out to our distress, the Lord answers. The Lord answers. He doesn't wait. He doesn't wait to answer. He blesses us with His presence as soon as we cry out. And the amazing thing, the beginning of our journey, the beginning of good worship, the first step in our journey is to say no to the world and say yes to God. It starts right there. Church, you have to say no to the world and you have to say yes to God. God knows how bad it is down here. He knows how evil sin is. He sent His only Son to take care of it. He knows. He knows your frustrations. He knows your fears. He knows your blah. He knows your dissatisfaction with things. I want you to be dissatisfied with things. He wants you to be dissatisfied with things. Because when you're dissatisfied with things, you look for a solution. Those that are satisfied don't do any work. Those that are satisfied just sit down. Relax. We're not there yet. We need to be dissatisfied. We need to look at the world around us and say, God, it's so bad down here. What are we going to do? What are you going to do? Well, in all of our distress, God answers. God answers. You know, this world, it hadn't changed from when this was written so many years ago. The world is full of lies and full of violence. And church, we cry out to the Lord for the brokenness of the world. And saying no to the world means that we confess the part that we play. I mean, how much energy do you spend looking outside of yourself and saying, this is bad, and that is bad, and that's so evil? You just read a headline and you condemn. And you look at our politics, and this side, and that side. And you look at the world news, and we should be afraid of that, and we should be afraid of that. And you hear about wars, and you hear about slaughtered children, and you hear about all these horrible things, and we say, that's bad, that's bad, that's bad, that's bad. But church, the beginning of our journey to God has to include, and that's bad. Because nothing will change for you, nothing will change for me, if I show up this morning satisfied with myself and just complaining about an evil world. I have to understand who I am and my need for God to act. I don't come to Him confessing my self-righteousness. We don't show up this morning saying, "Woo, God, thank you for making me so good. Thank you for making me not like those other people." That's not how we show up in the presence of God. That's not how any sane person approaches holiness. When you approach holiness, you confess your sins. You lay them bare for healing. You don't hide them. You don't cover them up. You don't deny them. In the New Testament, this no and yes is called repentance. In Matthew chapter 3, verse 2, John the Baptist shows up on the scene to prepare the way of the Lord. And he says in Matthew chapter 3, verse 2, In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Repent. Turn around. Turn back. Quit going in the direction that you're going. Change your life. And then John would minister for a while. He would baptize Jesus. And then he gets put in jail. And then in Matthew chapter 4, Jesus would carry the mantle of the message. And then in that chapter 4, verse 17, from that time, Jesus began to preach, saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." You know, maybe with all the distractions, sometimes it is very tempting to feel like God is far away. That we're down here muddling around, that we are blindly grasping and reaching and just, you know, I don't want to be a Pentecostal or here anymore, but I would love a spiritual experience. I would love something to hit me, to take me over. I would love for it to feel like God's doing more work than I am this morning. Wouldn't you love that? You'd love in your worship for Him to be the actor. For Him to be the one to show up. Me too. Me too. When we show up this morning for worship, I'm not the actor. Tony's not the actor. Steve's not the actor. Dale's not the actor. We are all servants giving our gifts to Him. Confessing to Him. That we know we're not it. We know that we're not there. And we know that You are everything. And so we have to repent. It all begins with repentance. It all begins with you and I turning away from everything in this world. This world just offered us everything we said yes to that we shouldn't have. Everything that we got beat down by. Every lack of faith that we exhibited. Every fear that we carried. Everything that is not of God, we have to repent, to turn back, to turn away, and refocus on God. Israel's long journey to God gave them plenty of time to consider themselves and their own situation. Now, you and I get to come to God a little more often than they did. You and I come together every week, and the journey for us is a little shorter, isn't it? Yeah, it's a drive, to drive around the loop. But what are you singing in that drive? What were you focusing on this morning as you prepared yourself to be in His presence? It's so interesting that the church usually comes together and says, "Oh, well, it's the song leader that determines how the worship service will go. It's the preacher that sets the tone. It's the welcome. It's the scripture reading." Church, it's not. It's you, and it's me. Showing up. Have we repented? Have we prepared ourselves to be in the presence of a holy God? Or are we just tourists? You can't be just a tourist in God's presence and expect great things. It doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. Church, make no mistake about it. We are still on a journey to God. And I'm asking you to confess, and so I will confess. It's not always what I expect. Worship's not always what I expect. It's really not. It's not always wonderful, is it? Sometimes it's just boring. Sometimes it just doesn't captivate my soul. Sometimes I'm just going through the motions. Sometimes I'm occupying a chair. And if I wasn't there to occupy the chair, well, it would magically stay empty because we all have our own chairs. But sometimes worship is just not what I think it should be. Well, church, it's not magic. It's true. It's true that you and I, we bring something here today. You and I bring something in the presence of God. We either bring our distractions, our busyness, our sin, our unresolved feelings and frustrations, our fears and our lack of faith. We bring all of that in with us this morning. And you know what? That's okay. But you can't keep it. You can bring all that stuff. Okay? I don't want anyone walking away this morning, well, you know what? Michael said, if my heart's not in it, I just shouldn't show up next Sunday. Uh-uh. No, 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 no. I'm saying that if we follow the wonderful example of Israel as we are traveling the road to get here, we need to understand who we are and who He is. And when we see Him clearly, when we recognize that we are coming in to the presence of holiness, then our job is to say everything in the world, everything that I was a part of, everything that I did wrong, everything that it did wrong to me, I say no. And I'm saying yes to God. I am showing up here this morning and I'm saying yes to God. And I messed it up and I didn't walk a straight line last week. That's okay. I'm saying yes to God right here. And I'm not going to walk through those doors and allow the enemy to piggyback. I'm not going to bring him in here. Because you have a choice. You have a choice. You can either prepare yourself to be in his presence or you bring the enemy. You ever think about it like that? Do you ever think about that there are some Sundays you and I are bringing the enemy in here? Do you realize that? Yeah. So I'm not saying everything that you've experienced that, well, I haven't fixed it all, so I better not go. What I'm saying is, as you bring all that stuff, you recognize whose presence you're in, and then you lay it at his feet. Before we offer a praise of lips, let us offer our brokenness and our sinfulness and our need for a God and for a Savior. May we say, just like the psalmist in 120, the world is not right, and I'm a part of the problem. God, deliver me. And he does. Church, we're going to build and build and build in the next few weeks as we go through these songs of ascent. I want you to make sure that you make a note, that you write it down, that you put it on your heart, that next Sunday when you come in here, you lay it down. Okay? That's it. This is going to build and build and build and build into something wonderful and beautiful, but next Sunday we are going to lay it down. Whatever it is. You can bring it with you. Because we're carrying too. But you're going to lay it down. In fact, I may talk to whoever's opening next Sunday. It's a new month. It's a new Sunday. We may have to do this collectively in our welcome. We're going to lay it down. We're going to leave it all at his feet. We're going to put our no to the world right there. And we're going to put our yes to Jesus on our hearts. Garrett read for us in John chapter 14. This no and this yes that we're saying, no to the world and yes to Jesus, it's captured in what Jesus says here in John chapter 14. Because this is a journey. This is a journey. A journey even to get here to worship this morning. The journey of our lives of faith, to grow closer to God, to become more like Jesus Christ. We all have that common goal, and it's a journey. And some days it's fantastic. And some days it's awful. We got to make sure that we're headed in the right direction. Because if we're not headed in the right direction, if we're not moving to God, we're moving away from God. And if we're moving away from God, we are going to miss the party. And yes, I said party. Because people party when they realize they are forgiven of sins. People party when they find one coin out of 10. They throw a party. When something that was lost is found, they celebrate. They celebrate. In John chapter 14, Jesus says, don't be upset that I have to leave because I'm going to prepare a place for you. Now, all those prayers that you pray, that you say, God, come back quickly. Yes and no. Because if he's not back, your room's not ready. If he's not back, your room's not ready. He's preparing a place for you, and it is not ready, or he'd be back. When it's ready, he'll be back. So don't waste all your energy saying, Lord, it's so bad. I want you back now. Instead, we can say, Lord, you mind speeding up my room? While you're preparing there, I'm going to prepare here. He's the bridegroom. We are the bride. We are going to prepare ourselves to be with Him for eternity. Church, let me ask you a question. If Jesus showed up this morning, I mean like, excuse me, tear the roof off of this building and just right now just interrupted me and just... Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready to be His and only His forevermore? Jesus said, I'm going to prepare a place for you. And His disciples, of course, say, okay, well, Lord, tell us how to get there. And Jesus' response is, I'm the way. I'm the way. And then another disciple said, well, you know, Lord, that's fantastic. But if you'll just show us the Father, that'll be good enough for us. The disciples, the first disciples, church, have the same questions and frustrations that we have. Lord, show us how to get there and show us where it is. And Jesus says, yes. I am the journey and I am the destination. Church, Jesus Christ is your path to Jesus Christ. He is the journey and He is the destination. Now, if Jesus is the journey, that is, if He is with us every step of the way, then we are walking in His footsteps. And we are going to walk in His footsteps the way that He walks. Loved, forgiven, sure of Himself, powerful, fearless. That's what the path of Jesus looks like. And everything else that He showed us. He is the way. And when we get there, what are we looking for in the destination? I promise you, in light of Jesus, none of us will be worried about a mansion, a robe, and a crown. Those are trinkets. Those are trinkets. Jesus Himself is the prize. So if you've created a false god of, well, I can't wait to get there. I want a big old house. I want my own cloud. I want a do not disturb sign. I earned it. I've been serving people all these years. I just want a little peace and quiet. Guess what? We're going to throw it all down at His feet. Jesus is the path and Jesus is the prize. Church, that is key for you and I saying no to the world and yes to God. That is absolute key. Because if you and I, if Israel was going to Jerusalem for some bad reason, for some false reason, to worship some false god, it wasn't going to do them any good. Church, if you show up here expecting to worship yourself, if you show up here expecting to worship some false version of God, you're going to miss it. It's going to leave you empty. It's going to leave you empty. But if you have said no to the world and said yes to God, if you have shown up here this morning and said, I'm not what matters here. Jesus is what matters here. What is important is Him. That He is glorified. That He is exalted in our church and in our hearts and in our lives. Then worship is going to be full and filling and life-changing and Spirit-filled. What more could we ask for? What more could we want? What more could we want? Now, in the coming weeks, we will definitely be challenged through the songs of ascent of what worship looks like. So we'll get into some specifics. We'll get into some of that. But as we understand that Jesus is the way, as we understand that He has shown us the Father, because He's in the Father and the Father's in Him, we have got to begin on the right step. We got to begin on the right step. If we're not facing the right direction when we start the journey, we're going to get lost. What's worse, we're going to be even further than when we started. Our worship depends on us starting correctly. Staying on track in our faith depends on us starting the journey correctly. Reaching our goal, that is Jesus, depends on you and I starting correctly. So let's get started. Let's get started. We're going to say no to the world, and we're going to say yes to God. It begins right here. Some of us this morning, we need to repent. I take that back. I apologize. All of us this morning need to repent. All right? Now, I'm not expecting the front rows to be filled up in the song. But brothers and sisters, you better realize we are on the journey. We are working our way to God. And if you are not preparing your heart to be in His presence, you won't be in His presence. You ever? We've talked about worship being bad, but have you ever really worshiped? I mean, when worship was good. You ever had that experience? You ever had those times when you were with the body and you were so Spirit-filled that it was all just yes and perfect? Yeah, you sure have. And do you realize that you could have that experience while someone in the chair right next to you could have a totally different experience? Okay, that's why it starts here. It starts here. I'm not going to say the magic word so that next Sunday all this worship is just going to be, oh! What's going to matter is what you and I bring through those doors. What's going to matter is how we have prepared ourselves to say no to the world and yes to God. And you're going to have to do it. And I'm going to have to do it. And all the distractions, because the enemy's going to go, all right, broken water heaters didn't work. A pile of fresh dog stuff on your floor didn't work. Let's see what else I can try. And oh, you notice how the things in your spouse just annoy you that much more on Sunday mornings? You notice how your fuse is just a little shorter on Sunday mornings? You notice how the kids have an extra hour of sleep on Sunday mornings and somehow they are just harder to drag out of bed? You're going to be tempted to carry all that and get frustrated on the drive here. And you're going to be tempted to walk all the way through the door and you're not going to imagine the change that has to happen coming through this threshold. We have done such a great job of saying, the church building's not special, the church building's not important, it doesn't matter, we can worship God anywhere, that we've turned into a bunch of heathens that don't worship God anywhere. So I'm saying, you know what? We need to make the threshold special. I'm saying that we need to enter in, because this is it. This is it, okay? It's not because of the laminate flooring. It's not because of the ceiling fans and the lights and the sound system. It is because many years ago, the first members and the elders of this congregation decided this is a spot where the body of Christ will meet, right here. So we need to understand that. That when we come together in this spot, together, that we are entering in the presence of the Lord. Get your heart right. Do not presume to just walk in here not having done any work to get you ready to be in the presence of holiness. You bring all that crud. You bring all that crud and you lay it at His feet next week. You lay it at His feet because you will not truly worship until you are unburdened. You will not truly worship until you are light. If we all walk in here still carrying the pack and the weight and the burden and the sin and the guilt, we can't praise, we can't worship, we can't even look up, we can't even raise our heads or our hands. Psalm 134. Ooh. I know. It's Scripture, it's not Michael. You and I can't look up because we're busy down here. We're busy down here. Ugh, woe is me. So, there it is. Let's start this journey. Let's start it right. Let's start it right. This week, no to the world, yes to God. We are headed towards somewhere. We are headed towards someone. And that someone that we're headed towards, he's with us every step of the way. Okay. This morning, if you need to say no to the world, if you need to repent this morning, and you want us to pray for you and repent with you, then we invite you to come. If you need to make your initial no to the world and yes to Jesus and become a Christian this morning, being baptized for your sins and receive the Spirit of God, then we invite you to come. You know what? If it's just time and it's just been long enough to where worshiping God has not been a thing for you, we invite you to come. If it's become stale and dry and you just want to say in front of your brothers and sisters, you know what? Next Sunday, I'm laying it down. I want to be a part of this. Then we invite you to come. Church, this is going to happen with us together. This isn't going to happen just because I want it to happen and this is what I'm talking about for the next couple of months. That's not how it's going to work. Because it won't work. It won't. I'm still going to worship God. Because you have worshiped God in spite of the people around you sometimes, right? Uh-huh. Now just think how much more powerful worship is if you worship with them. With them.